We're back from Christmas vacation. I've got a few Christmas vacation stories for you here in this segment as we returned over the weekend. Yesterday was our first show back after dry dock. All the ticket shows are back and ready for a big 2026. My family went to northern New Mexico again. That's my happy place. Get up there as much as we can. And when you go to the mountains for Christmas, and we talked about this on the Musers, the podcast, our Christmas edition, right before we left town, that you expect snow and you expect that storybook setting, you know, mountains and snow and people ice skating and skiing, and it's cold and you're bundled up and you're sitting by the fire. And didn't really have that this year because it was really warm, like I understand it was here in the Metroplex. Wasn't it about 80 on Christmas Day?
It was 80, yeah.
That is not right at all.
I didn't know that was going on in the mountains. Not 80, but warmer temperatures where you didn't have snow.
Yeah, normally, for example, in Santa Fe, the high this time of year would be about 40 or 42, but we had several days where it was 55 or 60. In fact, most of the days.
Dang.
So there was no snow on the ground, and it's really killed the ski resorts throughout the Rocky Mountains. Santa Fe and northern New Mexico being the southern tip of the Rockies and extending all the way up, of course, to the Canadian border and into Canada. And in Colorado and New Mexico, the ski resorts are really hurting. But I really wanted to ski, and Ski Santa Fe was open. So I went up there one day by myself, and my sister's family joined us for Christmas this year, and there was another day that I went and I took my niece and nephew skiing, and it really wasn't bad. Now, considering only 30% of the mountain was open, the top half of the mountain, the lifts weren't even running up there because the higher you go, the steeper the runs get and you need more snow to cover those runs. And they had had a couple of 8-inch storms back in November, nothing in December. But these days, these ski resorts have to make their own snow in order to stay in business.
Wow.
Shockingly, right around Christmas or right before Christmas, Telluride, Colorado had received 0 inches of snow this year.
I heard about that.
Zero. In Telluride.
At that high elevation.
Yes, at Christmas. Normally, by Christmas, they've had 100 inches. So they're not even open. They also have a labor issue going on. But so many resorts throughout Colorado and New Mexico are just really struggling. And this is their time to make all their money. It's
yeah.
a multi-billion dollar industry. And a lot of people had planned Christmas vacations going to a ski area. And they go there and they're barely open. They may have had one or two runs open. Well, I went up to Ski Santa Fe a couple of times. And the 30% of the mountain that was open, pretty good. They yeah. made really good snow, and they had enough from the November storms to where they could open, you know, 10 runs or 12 runs. And so there were a few different ways you could get down the mountain. I did a half day each day because there wasn't really enough of the mountain open to do a full day. But I got my skiing fix. I posted a pic on Instagram of me very happily skiing down a mountain. And I mentioned that there's very little that makes me happier than gliding down a beautiful mountain on snow, looking around, seeing this incredible view. It's just such a fun experience.
Yeah. I bet. And, you know, we talked about this on the podcast. I've always wanted to take my family to the mountains for Christmas, and I think mm-hmm. we're doing that next year.
You should.
But that would be such
I'll go
a,
with you.
That's all right. But that would be such a bummer, whether you're skiing or not. I'm sure some in our traveling party will ski, but that's where you're going there to see the snow and
right.
frozen ponds and all that. Now, that's not happening. And yeah, and I can't imagine that for those people that anticipate that for their livelihood all year long.
I had an observation about a ski mountain, and I do not know why we do this, but it's done at every ski resort in America and probably around the world. Why do we serve beer at ski resorts? You have people,
what
some
do you mean,
of them,
why? America, man.
Some of them
it's
not
America.
Not very competent going down a mountain at 30, 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, you have to have enough beer in you to do something that's stupid.
It's inherently dangerous, yet before other dangerous activities, before a bike rally or a fun run or a swim competition, you don't serve beer. You serve it after.
Right.
You never serve it before. Yet at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. at most of these ski areas, you can start consuming beer, and then you can go out on a mountain, strap on skis, whether you're good at it or not, and you can fly down a mountain. I don't understand why we do that.
That is crazy. Are there stats on how many accidents are caused by that?
There may be. I don't know. I haven't heard.
Can you go get them real quick?
Without even seeing
them.
Let me go get them real quick. No, you don't have to go get them.
You have to run down to your car?
Yeah, I left them in my car.
But I would guess that it causes more.
Yeah. Anyway, even though it was warm, got a couple of days of skiing in, and Christmas in Santa Fe is just the best. They do this great Farolito walk, the little luminarias. I believe in northern New Mexico they're called Farolitos, the sacks with the candles inside them. And they shut down Canyon Road, which is like the main community hub of Santa Fe. And it's just people walking up and down the road Christmas Eve after it's dark. You've got bonfires lit, Christmas carolers, people serving hot chocolate and cider and whatnot. Thanks to P1 Chris, who invited us to stop by his house, which is at the very top of Canyon Road, and we did. Mm. They were sitting out front with their own bonfire. Really great family we got to talk to for a little while. Really puts you in the Christmas spirit. The next day we had Christmas morning, of course, and Santa Claus came, and my family has got to figure this out because my wife is very dug in that Santa wraps his presents.
Santa will wrap his presents.
And I am very dug in that Santa just puts the presents out there unwrapped, and they are different from the presents that everybody else wrapped.
You are correct, but she will be right.
Well, it's starting to come to a head because our 4-year-old daughter now is a little confused. Well, why is he wrapping some, but this one wasn't wrapped?
Yeah, because mommy and daddy can't get along. That's why, sweetie, I'll explain it all when you're older.
So I thought the greatest magic about Christmas morning was waking up as a kid, peeking around the corner, maybe going and waking up your sister first, and then you both peek around the corner to see what Santa left.
Yeah.
And seeing those unwrapped presents, it just felt different. It felt magical. But apparently half the world wraps the Santa presents and half the world leaves them unwrapped.
Apparently.
So we got to figure that out.
Yeah. Some grew up that other way, but I'm with you.
One of the gifts she got for Christmas was a pair of walkie-talkies.
Classic kid gift, man. Yes. They're awesome.
And let me tell you, these are fairly cheap walkie-talkies, but the quality has ramped up exponentially. They've got little video screens now so you can see the person you're talking to.
What?
Yeah, so she can go in another room.
FaceTime.
Yeah, it's like FaceTime walkie-talkie. She goes into another room and turns it on, and we're looking at each other, talking to each other. They are great. If I had those as a kid,
gosh, yeah.
I would have not done anything else for the rest of my life other than play with those walkie-talkies. So we had a great Christmas with a 4-year-old. That's really a sweet spot. You know, I'm guessing these next few years are going to be until they figure everything out. It's such a great sweet spot. And I had bedtime duty on Christmas Eve, and she was so excited, and she wanted to get to bed, but she was so worried that she would still be awake when Santa arrived, and she didn't want to be because she was afraid he would leave. Because she's been told you need to be asleep for Santa to come. So she was telling me, she was like, I don't want to read a story tonight. I need to get to sleep for Santa to come.
That's always a tough one when you're a kid because, yeah, you're supposed to be asleep, but how do you get to sleep?
Yeah.
I know.
It's the biggest night of the year.
Right.
So excited.
From the Kids Say the Darndest Things department, and when you have a 4-year-old, they say something funny and hilarious about every 30 seconds. So this one hit me in particular. We're in the car, and she's in the back seat, and she wants to go to the playground. I want to go to the playground now. No, sorry, honey, we don't have time, but I want to go to the playground now. And she's made a friend up there, and so we were going to see them, her friend. She was going to have a play date. And I said, well, we can't go to the playground now, but you're going to get to see your friend later. We're going over to her house, and you guys can play all the evening. And she goes, that's true.
Okay.
It's so weird to hear that phrase.
Yeah.
from a 4-year-old.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's true, but I want to go now.
They say so many things like that that you wonder, where did they pick that up? And how do they know to use it properly?
Was this the same playground where you body checked the 3-year-old last year?
No, that was a different one.
Okay.
Yeah, where I bowed up to that 3-year-old. I showed him who was boss.
So wrong.
And I'm doing something with our daughter every Christmas that I think is great, and I got the idea from a documentary called How Do You Measure a Year? And in this documentary, this man interviewed his daughter every year on her birthday.
Yeah.
And for 17 years, and it is great. Now, I started this last year when our daughter was 3, so I'm going to do it every Christmas because that's just my reminder. And that's how we started it. And I looked at the 3-year-old interview, and I looked at the one I did this year with her being 4. And it's amazing. I forgot how babyish she was at 3 because I've been with a 4-year-old. And it's amazing how much their language skills improve in 1 year, how physically they change. It's just really incredible. So I've only done this for 2 years, but I can't wait to get 15 years of it and see how time passes year by year. I think it's a great idea for parents.
It's a really cool idea. Yeah, wait till she gets to 15 and says, the only reason I'm doing this so I don't get fined. There's right. Marshawn Lynch on you.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Well, there she is.
Right.
Wow. I hope she turned out that. Yes.
That's real attitude. Oh, man, that's
great.
Yeah,
so that's a fun thing to do, and it's been fun. And she loves watching those videos. Like, she wants to watch them all the time, all day. She just cracks up at herself and the things she does in the video. So, really fun time being away for Christmas, and Christmas with a 4-year-old is just second to none.
That's awesome.